Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
They're in Wexford, and as you heard at the start, it's off the back of that incredible story Jer Smith told yesterday about this. Well, a lot of things, but one of the side stories that became pivotal as we went along was the work of a woman called Anne Thomas and his family. This is Jer just briefly talking about it. We spoke at length, but this is a little clip of what he said about Sister Anne yesterday.
My older brother, he would have been 14, and me and me twin brother. The home help was there to come up.
This is Anne.
She done a little bit more than what was asked of her, and she took a little bit of responsibility on herself, Joe. And it was never for gratitude. It was never for that lady was just like an angel. That, you know, she was just meant to be there the right time.
Now, Sister Anne Thomas was the nun's name. Sister Jean Quinn. Jean, good afternoon.
A very inspiring story from Millie before now, wasn't it?
Incredible. And in one sense, her telling of the story was inspired by Jer Smith yesterday telling us about your friend Anne.
Yeah. It was very, very moving listening to it yesterday, Joe. I had so many calls to go on Liveline and hear Jer speak about Anne. And like you said, she was a very unassuming person, Joe.
Yeah.
And really loved people and loved helping people. And I think, as Jer rightly described her, like she didn't look for gratitude, that she was that angel. And not just in Jer's story, but in many others. Anne would be in a house morning, noon and night, you know, helping to get children up, ready for school, washing uniforms, maybe cooking the dinner, and you would never know about it unless you asked her, Joe. She just was very unassuming, and I have to say her death came as really a bolt out of the blue. Certainly not expected.
And she was very young. She was only 60.
Yes,
she died.
She really was. And,
she died in the pandemic, so the funeral was obviously very constrained.
It was terrible, Joe, not
she
to be able to...
She died in October,
not to be able to physically get to it. And we just get moments when we remember her. But right through Sophia, it has shocked everybody. These are moments in lockdown when you don't get to be in touch personally with people. But everybody was so affected by that death, because people would really remember Anne. And, you know, certainly the Little Sisters of the Assumption had a great impact on people and their lives. And Anne just represented that for them.
And the Little Sisters of the Assumption were in Ballyfermot, I think, when I was growing
up.
I know they were, because a sister, Brenda, used to come into our house when my mother was having the babies or whatever. And Sister Brenda was subsequently killed, I think, off her motorbike.
Her little
Lambretta.
Oh, you're bringing back memories.
That's 90, but she was a lifesaver.
Yeah.
She was a lifesaver for us. But how long did you know Sister Anne?
Oh, Joe, you're going to be... My age is going to be creeping up on me. I'm sure over 30 years anyway.
Okay, so she would have been a young woman then, 30 or whatever. And do we know anything about her vocation, Jean, about when she decided to join the sisters?
She came from a social work background, Joe.
Okay.
And so worked in Ballymun as even before she came to Sophia, and would have been living in the community there, in community with the sisters, obviously, was working in that local community. Was very involved with her own sisters. That was the other thing that struck me in latter years. She dedicated herself to her own sisters, the care of the sisters, and that was a priority for her, even in trying to meet Anne, was would she be able to get away from the community and the sisters, and introducing them to the internet and computers, all that kind of thing. She was just very present, actually, to people. Wherever that person was at, Anne was present.
And I'm looking up on RIP.ie, and as I say, because it happened in October in the pandemic and that awful time when people were told you cannot come to the funeral, and maybe some we're discovering some people didn't know Sister Anne had died until she heard Ger mention her yesterday. But what's very striking, there's a number of things striking, and the condolences in RIP.ie, is the number of different families from different parts of the city of Dublin who call her a lifesaver and an angel, by the way. And what, like, so your answer to that, hopefully, Sister Jean, will be explain to us how Sophia works and what it does.
I think that's the unique thing, Joe, was, and Anne represents that, you know, that presence to people, and it's not a one for all. It's, you know, for myself, really, and Sophia, it's really trying to break that cycle of homelessness in terms of family, being able to work with family and working with children, particularly, Joe, because oftentimes we see that the adult is in need. But we also forget that we also have the next generation, which was really symbolic in Ger's story yesterday. You know, he talked about how, because Patricia had her own particular needs, but Anne was able to go in there and be supportive to these children, Ger and the his twin brother and the other young lad. And to hear Ger yesterday, you know, here he is now, part of the community, giving back to the community.
What an incredible young man.
I just thought that, to me, just symbolised what Sophia is all about. And I think the phones were buzzing in Sophia yesterday.
And do you...
I say with pride, Joe, to be honest, because of the work that quietly goes on in Sophia.
And you don't look for publicity, and you were looking to come on today.
But
founded
and
Sophia.
And it's going on there all the time, all day, every day. And I suppose the other thing I'd like to say, Joe, you probably heard that I'm now actually, I work at the UN. And one of the things, and I know one of the people that's listening this afternoon is somebody I worked with many, many years ago. And she said something to me at least 20 to 30 years ago. She said, "Jean, don't talk about us without us." And I hold that dear. And now have been able to get a number of women to come and talk at the UN about their own story, so that member states globally can hear.
And do Sophia, do you supply housing or you supply support services like yourself?
Both. It's really making a home, so it's housing with support, and that's something that I feel strongly about. It's not enough just to provide housing. People do need support. Not that it's not a long-term support, but it gets, you know, if people have been in hostels and hotels for a long, long time, Joe, people get de-skilled, and just to try and come back and begin to make and create a home again, that's really important, you know.
And do you build houses, Jean? Or?
We do. So some of the property would have been donated by religious. Some is through county councils, etc.
And how many people involved in Sophia?
I'm sure there's nearly 100 now. You mean in terms of the people, Joe?
No, in terms of your staff and volunteers.
Staff was probably around 100
Brilliant.
Now at this stage, throughout the country.
Fantastic.
But again, it's not a big organisation, Joe, but it's substantial in terms of we only try and do what we can, if you like. But it's important, the work we do. And I suppose a lot of the work, too, is based around the trauma that people are experiencing. So it's trauma-informed as well.
And how many, Sister Jean, how many nuns are still in the order?
Which order, Joe? Because there's so many involved. It's not just one order,
Well, the little sisters, that's the assumption I'm thinking of it, Anne.
A couple of hundred, I think, Joe, at this stage. I do think they're international.
Okay, and which order are you in, Jean?
So we were the Daughters of Wisdom.
Daughters of Wisdom, okay.
Yeah.
And now tell us about your UN work.
So, Joe, I found myself at the UN. The congregation joined an NGO to be represented at the UN called Unanima International. which is a coalition of religious women that works at the UN. And I suppose I was on the board of that, and they were looking for an executive director, and suddenly I found myself at this stage of my life in New York. And in getting there, it's an amazing experience to find yourself at the UN, Joe. It's like coming from where I grew up. My mother would have always been aware of people, that there was always room for somebody at the table. And then when you walk through the corridors of the UN, and it's kind of like I had to stand still and think, gosh, is this me here in this building, you know? But the thing that struck me most of all, Joe, was I never heard the word homelessness, ever. And I couldn't get over that, because it was the thing that I would have been tripping to get there to talk about. And so with a group of us, we set up what was called a working group to end homelessness. And in February, for the first time in 75 years of the history of the UN, we had a resolution on homelessness. First time ever. Got language and resolution. And was very blessed that Mary McAleese, I asked Mary to come and got the UN to invite her to be the keynote speaker at that Commission on Social Development, where she talked about homelessness and her own experience of homelessness.
And because as she details it, an incredible memoir
she released this year. We had three great days with her.
About Belfast and losing her home.
So she spoke eloquently about that experience, and was able to talk about Sophia and her experience with Sophia, because she opened many of her projects, and she opened the Auras to us, as she did to many others at the drop of a hat. So that was it. That we made history, Joe, and that was incredible, extraordinary for the UN.
Sister Jean, and coming back to this remarkable woman, Anne Thomas. She's from Dublin. She was from Dublin, as far as I know, and I knew one of her relations I discovered yesterday.
Yes, I heard that yesterday. Uncle Bill. Amazing.
He was a remarkable man in his own right. But she died suddenly, unfortunately, at a very young age, 60. And what would have become of her? Would she just have gone... Sorry, would she have continued her daily work, or had she any ambition in a good way, ambition is a good word. Had she any ambition to run an organisation or to attract more people in to do the type of work she was doing?
No. Okay. Anne was a doer. But when I say she was a doer, she would have been, certainly she was part of the leadership of Sophia when she was with us. And she always raised her voice for the poor and for the people we worked with, Joe. You know, when you needed that voice of reason, that was Anne. So she would, that's how I would have always seen her. She would be on the side of the people. All the time, that was her ambition. And as I said, before,
and do we know anything?
Do we know anything again, Jean, through her own community and her own sisters?
And do we know anything about Anne's own background? Where was she from? And
not a lot, Joe. I know she had a sister and two brothers.
Yes,
I suppose I would have known more in her capacity as a little sister.
Of course. And you reckon she became a social worker first?
She did.
And you know where she studies?
I wouldn't have known that, Joe. No, okay. I don't know that detail.
Because we'd be contemporaries if that was the case. But I must talk to some of my classmates, because I was in two different years in Trinity at one stage in social work.
Your line is getting very
okay,
long,
it's probably
Joe,
me. It's probably me muttering, Anne. Jean, stay there for a second, because I have Annette Kinahan on the line. Who knows Jean? Annette, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you know Sophia House and everything.
I know, and I knew Jean in her other life in Focus Ireland.
Okay, wow.
She was my caseworker when I was homeless, and then we went on to work together for many years, and I consider it an honour to be called her friend. She's a wonderful, wonderful, humble lady.
And how did you meet Jean, Annette?
When I was homeless, she was my support worker.
Okay. And how did that work in and build into the relationship that's there now, which is obviously incredible?
Because of Jean's unique heart for homeless people and her ability to treat you with respect and dignity above all.
Wow.
You know, she won't tell you half of the things she does because she's a very humble lady. But she is considered a very, very good family friend of me and my children.
Isn't that incredible?
And I had the honour of being at her Golden Jubilee last year.
many years Annette is a Golden Jubilee year. I don't want to ask Sister Jean. 50. She's about 50. Yes. So you joined the order very, very young, Sister Jean.
Thank you, Joe.
Very
spring
young.
Spring chicken.
Thank you, Annette. And Sister Jean, where did the name Sophia come from?
Well, Sophia is wisdom, Joe.
Okay.
Going back into the Old Testament, it's the feminine, a face of wisdom, like to think. Yeah. And I suppose the word came really when we were... Annette was one of the people and one other woman. Three of us sat down, if you remember, Annette.
Over a pizza
and a glass of wine, thinking we should really start a new organisation that would be supportive of families. And we were trying to think of a name. And even Joe, we had the place picked out. Do you remember, Annette, on the key?
I do. Yeah.
I think it was a record shop in the end. But anyway, that's what we thought would be a good place to start.
And Sophia, and isn't there a Saint Sophia?
I'm sure there is, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
And apparently she is a saint. It's a female. I won't lose the run of ourselves because I'm conscious of the world we now.
I know
you won't let me, but I'll try. Because I'm reading again and again on that RIP, the messages that people left talking about Anne.
Amazing.
Anne Thomas, this very young woman who died suddenly, who was a nun, doing incredible work below the radar, never looked for publicity, like Sophia in that sense as well. And people saying she was an angel, she was a saint. Do you believe in that stuff, Jean?
I think she was. You know that. I'm not sure about saint or angel, but there's the giftedness of somebody. I think Ger really articulated that for me yesterday. Mm-hmm. When you know you go the extra mile for somebody, Joe. You know that.
And just to remind people what Ger said about Sister Anne yesterday, she used to, the three of them were living on their own on the eighth floor flat in Ballymun, the three of them going to school. Anne used to arrive in the morning. I suspect and that they were very mature young men. Listen to Ger yesterday, and he was only 30. They stayed on their own. They got an alarm on the door, so they'd be safe. Sister Anne used to come in every morning. I suspect the lads were up, but to get them out to school and make sure. Then she'd come back again in the evening to make sure homework, dinners, everything was sorted out. Then the lads would be on their own. And on their own at that age, in any area, there would be lots of attractions. Some of them might not be all that beneficial. The lads didn't succumb to those attractions, but day in, day out, Sister Anne, I know relations called as well, but Sister Anne came in, including Christmas Day, when she went and came with the lad's mother, Patricia, who was unwell at the time, and she would come on Christmas Day and do the Christmas dinner with Patricia and the boys. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible story.
But I smiled at yesterday as well, though, Joe. I think you said to, would she say anything to you? And he said, oh, yeah, she would if she had to. And Anne was a very straight talker.
Yeah.
You know, she would tell them, you know, you need to do this, that or the other and do a sort of thing, you know?
Incredible woman, incredible woman.
Yeah.
And as Sister Jean, finally, in the world we now live in, where I know I have, and I'm sure other people have become more and more disillusioned when you hear the awful stories about the abuse within the church. Now, primarily, I hasten to add, not all, but primarily by male clerics. Has that affected your vocation, Jean, at all?
No, it hasn't, Joe. Absolutely not. Not as obviously I'm a female, I'm a woman religious. It's not easy, Joe. It's not easy at times when it happens. But I guess, like all of us, we still have to keep going, don't we?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Jane Roach is on the line. Jane, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You are the sister of Sister Anne.
I am indeed,
lovely.
Yes.
Okay.
We are in awe of her.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, really now. I can't believe it.
That's beautiful, Jane.
Yeah. We knew she was a busy girl, a busy lady, but we really did not know the work she was doing and did.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Yeah, wonderful,
Jane.
Wonderful,
did you hear?
Jane. I'm so happy you're on that call.
Yes. Oh. No, I just felt I had to ring in.
Yeah. So happy.
And Jane, tell us about your sister Anne.
Well, Anne was always very quiet growing up, and we always knew that she was going to enter to become a nun. She was that type of a girl. When she went to Mass for Lent, she went to Mass for Lent. She just didn't go for a week. She had her May Day altar in our bedroom, and it was there, and flowers were changed every week. So we knew that, you know, that she had that calling, or that she eventually would go in. She was very young. She left school, did her leaving cert, and went to Roche Stores to the accounts department and worked for a year there, and then entered the convent.
Wow.
She was, I think, about 19 or 20. She went in 1973. She was 67 when she died.
Oh, 67, okay.
Yeah. Now she passed.
And Jane, tell us about where you're from and the family.
Originally from Dunleary.
Okay.
York Road, easy place in Dunleary.
Yeah, and did...
So we went to the Dominican nuns in Dunleary.
And were your parents aware of Anne's vocation at such an early age?
Yes, I think so, yeah. She just seemed to get on with the nuns, even in school, in the Dominicans, and, you know, now I don't know how she chose the little sisters.
Yeah.
They had a convent in York, up the top of York Road, you know, but I don't know actually, you know, why she chose the little sisters. But,
what was the reaction of yourself, Anne? I think you have another sister and a brother.
Anne was my only sister.
Oh, okay, Anne was your only sister.
Yeah, I've two brothers, Alan and David. So,
and what was the reaction of the three of you?
Well, Alan, my younger brother, would have been very young because there's more than 10 years between, you know, so he was young. But we weren't surprised, you know. We just weren't surprised because she just was that type of girl. She didn't bother much with discos or things like that. She was always very quiet, you know.
And when you mentioned the May altar, and did she have a special devotion to any saint?
To be honest with you, Joe, now I don't know. You know, she wouldn't have been a very she wouldn't have been preaching to us or that, but she just did things very quietly, and you know, and as I said, I just I'm in awe because I just never realised the work and the people she helped until she passed away, and the letters and the phone calls and that I've received, you know. And you know, I'm just really, I mean, we had Christmases where Anne would come and maybe have to leave, or maybe she couldn't come, and she'd never say why, but now we know why, you know.
She'd never say why.
No, she'd just say, oh, I'm busy, you know. And I know the nuns where she lived in the convent now in Mount Jerome and Mount Argus, they're devastated because Anne is the youngest nun of their order in Ireland. She's 67. All the other nuns that are here in Ireland now they're all over their 70s, you know.
And Jane, tell us about the other side. Was there another side to Anne in terms of relaxing or... but you said she didn't go to discos, but...
No, she obviously she has read a bit and that. She was a very quiet... My father was very, very quiet and you know, no fuss. And she was that type of a girl as well. She just went about her business and was just very quiet, you know. Now, always very good in remembering. I have five grandchildren and would remember their birthdays and, you know, leave presents out if she wasn't calling out at Christmas. But her life, she was devoted to her profession and to her life. As I said, it was 1973 when she went in. I remember her celebrating her 21st birthday in the convent.
Wow.
You know, in Clondalkin.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that was her life, her whole life, you know.
And were you aware yesterday? I don't know whether you heard Ger yesterday.
Oh, I did.
Were you aware of that family?
I think Ger's brother made contact with me the week that Anne passed.
Oh, okay.
I'm nearly sure now, but I was not aware of what she actually, all the work, until Anne passed, I never knew. Nor any of my brothers. We just didn't know. As I said, we now know where she was on Christmas Day. But, you know, as I said, it was just... And all those little sisters, they really are, you know, they work very quietly in the community and they really, really do.
But you see, I need to take a break, Jane, but I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm thinking from what she says and what you're saying, Jane, and what Ger said yesterday, that Anne would be mortified at this attention.
Oh, she would. I don't know what she's probably thinking, because I know she's gone straight up to heaven. But okay. I'd say she would probably say, "My God, what are they going on about? Or what are they, you know, sure, you know."
And remember, we are talking of the modern age. We're not talking of somebody in Ireland of the 40s and 50s. And we're talking of a nun, a woman of the modern age who reached her 24th birthday in 1973. Mm. So she's young. Stay with us, Jenna. Take this quick break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
We're talking about Sister Anne Thomas, who died unexpectedly in October during the pandemic. She died suddenly, and she was a nun for many, many years. And it was brought up by a man called Ger Smith, who we were talking to yesterday about, as it was, about a residential facility where there had been an incident of crime, and... That's sorted out, thankfully. But Ger, within two sentences, said, "I don't want to talk about what happened. I want to talk about what they do and what we can do." Ger Smith, good afternoon again, Ger. How are you?
How are you, Joe? I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for calling me back.
Okay. We had to call you back because Jane Roach is on the line, whose sister Anne's sister, her only sister. And we just wanted, I know you want to... You wanted to get across yesterday how important that woman was in your life, Sister Anne Thomas, and I want you to say it directly to her sister and the member of her family, what she meant to you and your family.
Yeah, no, she meant an awful lot to us, like, you know, even with me mum, me younger sister, she was, you know, like, she filled a big void there, Joe, you know, like, it was definitely a void filled, and it wasn't for profit, it wasn't for Anne, it was just for love, you know, and... You know, like I said yesterday, you know, when you understand the situation and you hear about a situation, you can either choose to turn a blind eye to it and just get on with it, or you can just, you know, be the change you wish to see. And she really done that, like, so she brought out the best in us anyway, you know.
It's lovely to hear that, Ger, and you know what? We are so proud of her, and you know, and the way you have all turned out, and you're so articulate, and you know, it was lovely to hear you. And
Jane could never describe what she done for us, like, this. You couldn't write a book on that lady, like, it was just
really?
You know what, I could talk about her all day long, like, about the good things, you know, the hard times, like, when Anne and I first went to hospital, like, if it wasn't for Anne used to bring us up, and Anne was the one, like, the pillow, the cushion, who you'd scream and throw the tantrums, I'd say, why, and, you know, she got us through it, like, and she, you know, it's something to talk about. We all talk about negatives in life, and you know, it's those small percentage of people that make, that restore faith into humanity, like, you know, it was...
Yeah.
My little sister told me yesterday after she heard the phone show, she had a nightmare the night before that she was arguing with a cousin of Anne. That was crazy, that she never found out. She said she woke up crying that she never found out Anne passed away. And I says, wow, that's amazing. We were only talking yesterday. I brought Anne up because I thought it was a great time to mention Anne, you know. And I read Anne's funeral card, and in Anne's funeral card, it was like she writ the words herself. It was, don't cry to me when I'm gone, think of me, but don't cry to me, because she didn't want the fuss. There was never a fuss, like, get on with it. When we were experiencing separation from our mother and stuff like that, like, it was never sugar-coated. We were never told something that we wanted to hear. We were always told the truth. We were always told as it was and what's happening. So we used to always say, when you were 18, now you were going to have to fend for yourself. And on my 24th birthday even, she brought me ma out for cake with us. Like, and, you know, like, we spent as a family, you know, like, Anne was, you know, you don't have to be blood related to be family, you know, like,
yeah.
It was the time she gave us, it made us realise that time is very, very, very valuable, and how you spend your time with people, who you give your time to, and, you know, we were in a vulnerable position, and, you know, she made it all the better for us. Especially in the flat. We moved into the house and she taught us how to budget our money, how to pay bills, okay. You know, the stuff what they don't teach it in school.
And very quietly, I believe, because she never really, you know, she didn't discuss anything. Mm-hmm. She just used to say, oh, I'm busy, or, you know, she obviously was very quietly going about it, you know.
She never wanted any gratitude. For her gratitude was in helping people. So imagine if we lived in a society where people didn't look for gratitude and everything.
It's made us so proud as a family.
She didn't lick that goodness off a stone anyway, Jane.
I know, but it's lovely to hear. It is lovely, you know.
I went to the Tommy Turnan show before Christmas last, and Michael D. Higgins was on the show, and he was talking about being touched. Mm-hmm. And he says about art, great art is all about hands reaching down, touching people. And he spoke about how he was touched by a sister when he was young and stuff. And it related back to me, like, it was like, Jesus, a woman, it was a blessing in disguise. It was like, we wouldn't have done it without her, like. And when she came into our lives, she really touched us, in more ways than one. Like, we're not selfish people, but we got good qualities from that woman.
It's lovely to hear.
Mm. It's just the only thing we can do to repay and repay anybody that helped us in that is to just be the change you wish to see in society, and, you know, and try to take a leaf from Anne's book.
Well said, Jerry, again.
Words couldn't describe it, Jane. There's no words that can describe it. You know, there was very, very hard times, and if it wasn't for Anne, like, you know, people paint a picture of, you know, they tarnish the church with the same brush all the time, and everyone's quick to point fingers, like, and you know, I have a lot of stuff in me where I'd love to point fingers and give out about what could have happened, what should have, could have, would have, but we let all the negatives over, you know, succeed, go over the good stuff, and the good stuff we should talk about as well, because, like, for anybody in a vulnerable position, like, and I know for a fact there's thousands of hands on the island of Ireland, like, and just open up to them, let them come in. And I never told her she was a nun. She never, because she thought we would have judged.
I know, I heard that yesterday.
And it wasn't, you know, like, and who would have ever thought, like, Anne came into Smithfield Horse Fair with me ma's money, hold me ma's money, because me ma was in a hospital, to buy me a horse. And she'd be in Smithfield. Now you're happy with that horse? Yeah, grand. Okay, no problem. And you wouldn't
believe it.
All the way through.
Oh, we're so proud. We're really.
And there's thousands of Anns in the country, and there's thousands of Jer Smiths in the country as well.
Yeah.
Thankfully, as well. Jer, did you mention to me? I said you're a dad yourself. I know you're young.
Yeah,
you're 30.
We have an 8-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter.
Great. And how did you get on? I know you're big into Thai boxing, as you said yesterday, and Anne supported you in that. But how did you get on education-wise and work-wise? And you're young now.
Done a course in UCD for entrepreneurs about eight years ago or so. And when I had the kids, I stopped training, obviously, and I have to make a few bob. But now I fell into the scaffolding, Joe.
Okay.
Got in with a good boy. He gave me a little bit of his time, time again. Absolutely amazing. When you're yourself with somebody, you know, people appreciate that when you're not putting on a front for anyone. I was open on the street, and 2 years later, I set up my own business.
Wow.
And then 2 years into it, that's 4 years ago almost, so 2 years into it, I'm still plodding
on. So you're definitely going up in the world in the scaffolding business, Jer.
Yeah, well, it's not even in the scaffolding business, in just communication. Okay. Joe.
And what do you call your company?
GS Scaffolding.
J.R. Smith. Hmm. And many of you working in it?
Well, there's three of us. Two of us full time, and then I have a lad on the subcontracted. I don't do anything too big, Joe.
Yeah, good man.
Enough to keep the wolf away from the door, Joe. And I get to meet a lot of people.
Well, maybe Jane and Sister Jean. I know. Again, I can hear the of Sister Anne in the background on my shoulder here in Studio 10 saying, now don't be losing the run of yourselves. But I think she's such a remarkable, and so many remarkable people passed during this awful, awful year.
It
wasn't a mad year, as one of the ads says, and it wasn't a weird year. It was a sad, sad year for some. I know we saw and see great resilience in community, but it was a sad year for so many people, not just those who died and suffered from COVID, but those, and their relatives, obviously, but those who died as well unexpectedly, like Sister Anne, and people weren't able to properly mark, as we do in this country, their passing. So maybe when this pandemic lifts...
Because it's an act of kindness, Joe, and that's all it was. It wasn't an act of love, it wasn't an act of aunt, and it was the relationship she built with all of us as a family, even me, ma. We haven't told me ma she passed away, we still haven't told me ma. Because she's still in her place, and if somebody done what she done for my children, It's undescribable, Joe. There's no words that I can describe it. We were very, 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 very lucky, and I know there was other families there that were very lucky that.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, as we're hearing from.
Very, very lucky, and it was never for gratitude. You see a lot of Facebook people are taking pictures of homeless kids eating off the streets and stuff, and I think that's the wrong approach. I think the approach we should do is be the change we wish to see. But there's no point in going around talking about it. If an act of kindness, it was a great feeling. We went to court today when the man was getting sentenced for stealing the money on our mother and stuff. Mm. We had Anne's last card, as we were talking, as me and my two sisters, and I says, no matter what happens today, I says, we just accept it, we get on with it. The way Anne would be, she'd say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. She was very black and white, nothing you can do about it. Don't cry about spilt milk. Just get on with it. That's what we're doing. He got a small sentence. Deep down, we weren't happy with it, but I had Anne's mask card in my hand, and I thought, you can feel her there with you in your heart, They might pass away, but they never really leave you, The lessons they ever give you, Joe, never leaves you. It was a blessing, And Jane, she was a credit to you, she definitely was a...
Oh, thank you, Chair.
A credit to you. I couldn't describe it. I've only told you a small percentage of the stuff Anne has done for us,
But you've done an incredible... tribute to her,
When I rang little sister to the Assumptions when I found out about her passing, they didn't know about the stuff she done, and I was like, wow, that's Anne all over. Because Anne just wouldn't... There was no fuss. It was never a fuss. It was just do it. There was no look for the pat in the back. No nothing. It was just let's go. Let's get this done. Move forward. How do you move forward? Right. This is the situation you are in, lads. That's the way she was. You are in this situation. When my sister went to foster care, Anne seen my sister every day. Whenever my sister needed anything, the way girls talk to their mothers. That was Anne from my little sister. My little sister now has a little boy, and he'd say, Nana Anne. He'd call her Nana Anne, because she had that impact on them. It wasn't just, I'm here for you for a chat. I'm here for you. Proper order here for you. And I'm not, the way people choose when, people are in bad form. I don't have the head to listen to him today. I've never seen Anne in that humor she wasn't able for her aunt. She just soldiered on, and she made a great difference. She was aware of we weren't aware of the difference she was making when we asked going through it, Joe. It was when she was aware of it, but she knew what she was at. She devoted her life to it, in my opinion. She definitely devoted her life to it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that was her life. I think,
Jane,
you know, she, you know, I think she made that decision when she was 19, and obviously that was her life, you know. Mm. But as I said, we didn't, with our hands on our hearts, we did not realise the work that she did.
But doesn't that say it all, Jane?
Yeah.
That really does.
Really, now.
Okay, about
Anne. It's made us so proud.
Anne Thomas, sister Anne
even
Thomas.
Even with a funeral and stuff, Joe, she wouldn't have wanted that. Like, that lady.
No fuss. No fuss.
When I read that funeral card, I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's Anne all over.
Okay.
Think of me, but don't cry for me, you know. Like, don't.
People are saying, they're saying definitely beatify Anne, but they're actually saying, can you do a slot every day on the programme at around 2:30 to give us all a lift, Ger, and remind us, keep us all grounded in that.
Sophia Housen, one of my friends sent me a link to the live mine and the Sophia Housen, what they wrote, like, and
that was lovely,
you know,
yeah,
what, I don't think if there's anything anyone can take from Anne, it's just practice what Anne has showed us, like,
well,
and you know,
okay.
Just, a little bit of time is valuable, Joe. It's the most precious thing we have, and to give it to people who need it, you know, it makes the world a difference.
Okay, well, Jerry, you get back to your scaffolding and your children and your life. Fair play.
Thanks very much.
Bye, Jerry. Bye, bye.
Okay.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
Jerry,
thank you,
and Jane and Sister Jean. Thank you for Anne's. We thank for the giftedness. That was a wonderful word that Sister Jean used. The giftedness of Anne Thomas. May she rest in peace.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.